Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, we say it a lot this time of year. We talk about love. You'll talk to people about Christmas, and they'll say, well, what's Christmas all about? And one guy, he'll say, well, it's all about loving your family. It's all about loving your family. And it's okay to love your family. You ought to do that. Even heathens ought to love your family. And this other guy say, well, it's all about loving your fellow man. Well, that's wonderful. You ought to love your fellow man. Even heathens ought to do that. And then some will say, well, it's all about loving the season and the decorations and the food and the celebrations. Well, you ought to enjoy every season God gives you, but that ain't what it's all about. It's about the love of God through Christ Jesus. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. In verse 20 it says, by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's what we're supposed to celebrate. The love of God through the finished work of Jesus Christ. His sinless birth, his sinless life, never sinned, his dying in our place, him rising from the dead that third day to prove that God had accepted that sacrifice, that God so loved us, he sent his Son to die in our place so we could rise from the dead and live forevermore with God. I can't ever remember hearing about that real complete story that I could understand it until I was about 21 years old. Now, I'd heard people say, God loves you, God loves you, God loves you. And I always wondered why they said that, because it didn't really appear that much that there was a lot of love in my life. I can't even remember hearing it. I don't know if I ever heard the unadulterated truth of the love of God without anything mixed in it, without the Christmas season, without Easter lilies, without Easter eggs, without a Christmas tree. I don't know that I ever heard about the love of God until I was about 21 years old and my mother-in-law took me to a church over in Fort Mill, South Carolina, Sister Memorial Baptist Church, and had a service there that day. And all I remember about that service, a whole lot of singing, and I knew nothing about those songs. I didn't know nothing about those songs. But I remember that old preacher stood up there, and I do remember that's probably the first time that I ever received that idea that God loved me so much. And then as the years went by, as I went to Eastside Baptist Church, and that pastor, Hubert Fallenberry, he'd preach it over and over and over and over. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. I don't think I even knew it when I was Joseph in the Christmas play in elementary school. All I remember about that is they gave me a bathrobe to wear because you had to wear a bathrobe, and we didn't wear things like that at my house. And they wrapped a towel around my head. And I stood there with a stick looking down at a little girl playing Mary and a baby doll in a little manger. And that's all I remember about that play. But I was Joseph, and I still didn't even know what all that meant. I wish somebody would have come by one day from church and said, Ronnie, did you know God loves you so much he sent his Son to die in your place? I wish somebody would have come by from the church that my mama attended. They came by every Sunday on the van, but we were so, me and my little brother were so mean, mama couldn't make us do nothing. And being little boys, it seemed like that driver would have got off and come in there and said, Ronnie, the same God that loves your mama and saved her and delivered her from her drunkenness and all these other things, he can save you too. He loves you. I don't know why I didn't hear it sooner, but I guess in God's plan, 21 was it. I don't know. But I know this. Now I know that God loves me. God loves me. And I thought about that love. What does that mean? What does that mean that God loves me? Well, I thought about that. And I thought about this. It's a divine love. It's a love like no other love. It's divine. It's through the Son of God. That makes it divine. God is divine. God is divinity itself. And so no one ever cared or ever loved me like Jesus loves me. Nobody ever loved me like God loves me, because Jesus is God and God is Jesus. And nobody ever loved me like that. You know why? Because they couldn't. It's divine love. As human beings, everybody that ever did love me in a flawed way. Because it's human love. All of our love is usually tainted with selfishness. We love people, but we expect something out of them. If I love you, a lot of times I expect you to love me back. I've learned better than that as I got older. But the divine love of God says, no, I just love you. I created you, and I love you. And it's a divine love, and nobody else can love you like it's greater than the love of a mother, or love of a father, or brother, or sister, or husband, or wife, or a pastor, or preacher, or anything. It's a divine love. Nobody can love me like Jesus loves me. He's God. And he loved me so much, he not only was born a sinless life that I wasn't born, I was born a sinner. Not only did he love me so much, that he lived a sinless life, and I can't live a sinless life. I'm a sinner. Not only did he love me so much, that he was born in a sinless birth and lived a sinless life, but he died a sinless death. I can't die like that. When I die, I'm still a sinner, and except by the grace of God, I won't go to heaven. It's his grace that saves me, undeserved love. And then he was resurrected by a divine, sinless resurrection. My resurrection is going to be through him. He didn't have a Savior. He didn't need one. He didn't have a God. He is God. And so his love is a divine love. That means perfect, pure, and undefiled, complete love. Now, nobody else can love you like that. Nobody can help. Nobody. Your mama will love you. Your daddy will love you. Your brothers and sisters will love you. But they can't love you with a divine, pure, perfect love. There's always a flaw in their love. Amen. And so therefore, I'm glad that when I say God loves me and God loves you, I'm glad to know that the sinless, pure, perfect God sent his sinless, pure, perfect Son to love me like nobody else could ever love me, and die for me like nobody can die for me, and then resurrect from the dead like nobody else can resurrect from the dead for me. And that's a love that no human being has no way of complete love like that. And then number two, I thought about this. It's an ancient love. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, it says this. He says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of the children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. That's an ancient love. Before the foundation of the universe was ever laid, before there was a star in the sky, or there was another planet, or there was another moon, or there was an asteroid floating around out there somewhere, before there was a sun, God's love was already there. And he loved us before the earth was created, or the moon was created, or the sun was created, or the universe, or the Milky Way, or all those other things out there that there are innumerable. God already loved us before he did all of that. It's an ancient love. You can't go back so far that you won't find God's love. And then in our life, it's an ancient love. He loved us when we were yet unlovable in our past. We were born sinners. He knew we were born a sinner. David said, in iniquity did my mother conceive me. And did you know what? We were all born sinners. And did you know this? God loved you before you were born, and then He loved you when you were born, knowing that you were a sinner. In your past, your ancient past, God loved you. Now, Daniel chapter 7, verse 13, give you another idea of what ancient means. Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. And I saw in the night visions, Daniel said. And behold, one like the Son of Man. Now there's Jesus before He was ever born. One like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. There's the rapture before He was ever born. Came with the clouds of heaven. And came to the Ancient of Days. You see, that's a capital letter on ancient. The Ancient of Days. That's a person. That's a person. Jesus Christ came to the Ancient of Days there in Daniel 7:13. I'm going to read it again. And I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, that's Jesus, came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, that's God. And they brought Him near before Him. Now you listen to me, He gets dominion and glory, it goes on to say. But listen, before Jesus was, God was. Before anything else was, God was. Now, before Jesus was born, before He lived His sinless life, before He died His sinless death, before He rose His sinless resurrection, God was already there. The Ancient of Days. You know what that means? It goes so far back you can't even count it. Now, that's how far back God's love goes for me and you. Amen. Now, I know my wife. I met her when I was about, 17 or just turned 18, and immediately I fell in love with her. Immediately. But you know, there's time I didn't love her because I didn't know her. Amen. And Jeffrey Hart, this is to believe I love you. But there's time I didn't know you. But His love goes back farther than anything we can imagine. It's an Ancient of Days. So not only before the foundation of the world was ever laid, not only before the sun was put in place or the moon was put in place or the Milky Way was put in place, way back innumerable days before even that, the Ancient of Days loved me. He loved me. Before I was ever even a thought on planet Earth, before planet Earth was a thought, God loved me before time ever began. And He made His Son, we got Him right here, He made His Son to come before Him and said, all right, I got the plan, here it is. Here's how we're going to create some people, but they're not going to appreciate us. They're not going to do it. And they're going to sin against us. But I got another plan. Here's how we're going to save them, because I can't look on sin. Then I can't have a relationship with them. But I'm going to love them so much, I want to have a relationship with them. So here's what we're going to do. And He laid down the plan that day before the foundation world was ever laid. God made a plan through His Son to come to planet Earth and live that life and die that death and resurrect that resurrection so that we, the unlovable, could be loved. Amen. That's how far that love of God goes back. Now, I thought about this word. It was a practical love. It was a practical love. Look at John 15:13. We're not talking about something that don't make sense. This makes sense. It's practical. John 15:13. Look at it with me. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Did you know that God showed it? God showed that there's no greater love. And the way He showed it was by laying down His life so that we could be saved. You say, why would God do that? Because that's what God had to do to have the fellowship of us so that we could be saved. So it's practical. If a man, it says it right there, if a man loves somebody as a friend, I mean a real friend, the greatest love that that man or woman can show that friend is to lay down their life for that friend, to die for that friend. Amen. Amen. there's so much going on in the world. It's just not, it's unbelievable and it's impractical. But I've got news for you. God thought this thing out. And God said it Himself, Jesus Christ, no greater love hath any man than this. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Now, that's the plan that God made. And it works. this word. This is not some kind of hocus pocus. This is not some kind of spooky witchcraft type thing. This is practical. Jesus says, I love you so much that I died for you. I love you so much that if you love me, you'll lay down your life for me. That's the way it works. I've had a lot of people in my life, especially being a preacher and a pastor, you'll lose a lot of friends. They'll come and go. I'm a preacher, I'm on for you. I'm going to be there. To the bitter end, and then next week they disappear, and somebody says, they said they ain't come back, they're mad at you. Well, why are they mad? I don't know. They're just mad. I said, okay. Well, what can I do about that? It used to bother me worse than it bothers me now. But here's the real friendship. A man lay down his life for his friends. Now, did he say, if he pleases him, if he does what he thinks is right, if he does this, he does. No, there's no if in there. If a man loves his friends, he'll lay down his life for his friends, not if they give him money, not if they give him attention, not if they laud him and all these things. No, sir. Look, it's practical. You just lay down your life for your friends. Jesus came and he lived and he died for his friends. And he said in that next verse that we can be called his friends. That's why we sing, what a friend we have in Jesus. That's exactly where that came from. So, not only that, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God so loved. Now that word so, you know what that means? In South Carolina, that means a bunch. A bunch. A heap. A whole lot. I don't know what it means in Michigan. Does it mean the same thing in Michigan? Amen. Pretty much just different words. So much. God so loved me. I'm in this world. I'm part of this world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God so. You ever heard anybody say, man, that cake was so good. Y'all ain't never heard nobody say that? Come to the house. My wife fix you some. You'll say it. Somebody says, boy, he's so smart. She's so pretty. I'm sorry, pretty. She's so pretty. And that car is so fast. You know what that is? Listen, that means it's immeasurable. I can't tell you how good it is. It's so. I can't tell you how big it is. It's so. I can't tell you how pretty it is. It's so. I can't tell you how handsome. It's so. I can't tell you how smart. It's so. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish. You don't know him, I doubt, but there was a man named J. Sidlow Baxter, and I've got his book on some things, and we had it in Bible college. That book's about that thick. But it's wonderful. Did you know he wrote a whole book on God so? Yes, he did. He wrote a whole book on that one subject, God so. God so loved the world. And if we tried to write it down, we'd have the whole book too. Look, if you can tell his love and you can measure his love, then it's not divine love and it's not ancient love. Right? If you can tell, well, so means he so loved a million people. No! He so loved the world, a bunch of people. So means that he loved these better than he loved these. No, so he loved them all. God so loved the world. Well, what that means is that he so loved those who would believe on him. No, he so loved everybody, whether they believed on him or not. He loves a sinner. He loves a drunk. He loves a drug addict. He loves a sodomite. He loves a murderer. He loves everybody. God so loved the world. That's everybody. That's the bunch that we can't even, it's an innumerable. It's so much, so big. And I want to thank God I'm in that number. Amen. I'm glad I'm in that so. I hope you're in that so too. For God so loved. Now, God's love's not like our love. God's love not like our love. Our love's human love. and it's kind of selfish and self-centered a lot of times. But God's is a pure love and a divine love. So when it says God so loved, it means that His love is greater than any love you could ever talk about. I've known people that had great love for things. They have great love for a hobby, maybe racing, or they have great, or golf. You know, a lot of men fall into that category. Or some that, they so love money. They so love money. Or they so love, some habit that they would lay down their life for that, but they'd never lay down their life for somebody else to go to heaven. This means God loves so much that He would let His Son die in your place. He suffered hell on Calvary so you can be saved. Amen. Did you know there's a teaching going around now that Jesus went to hell for 3 days and three nights? Preach, that's not so. That's not so. Jesus died. He took our sins upon Him, the Bible says, on the tree. On the tree. And He went to paradise. Bible says He preached to those captives down there in paradise and let them out. But He did not go to hell. God so loved the world that He sent His Son to live a life we can't live. And Jesus loved us so much that He died a death we ought to die. Every one of us. And did you know that death He loves God? God loves so much that that death is good for everybody. It is. It's so great. That love is so great that it's good for everybody, whether they accept it or not. He still so loves the world. China's in our politics a lot lately. If you're keeping up with it at all, and I hope you are, the Chinese are looking for world dominion. I think they're going to get it. They pretty well got it financially now. But did you know we're studying in our Bible Institute on Monday nights, the book of Revelation. Did you know God's going to dry up the river Euphrates? And an army of millions is going to cross that river Euphrates and invade the Holy Land. You know what's up across that river? China. China's across that river. And they're getting it set up right now. The one world system is setting up right now. The mark of the beast is setting up right now. The one world currency is setting up right now. The one world religion is setting up right now. But did you know in spite of all that, God still so loves those sinners that He'd save them if they'd simply receive Christ? I have some not so favored politicians. I know you do too. And I think they're crooks and they're grafters and they're thieves and they're hypocrites. And there's everything, they are everything that is anti-Christ. But did you know Christ died for them too? There's some people in rehab right now at the hospital in these places, rehab for drugs and alcohol. And did you know they've already made plans that as soon as they get out of there, they're going to go right back to it? And did you know that God so loves them anyway? You know, there's some men in this world that if I had my way, and I know I'm glad I don't have my way, but they mistreat their children, their wives so much that somebody just ought to put them out of their misery. They're miserable people. But did you know that so covers that man? And there's some women the same way. But did you know that that so covers them? You see, this so is immeasurable. It's so big that anyone in the universe fits into that so loved. When I was growing up, we didn't talk about love. We never heard that word. We never mentioned that word. We never did. I think the first time I ever told anybody I loved them was when I told my wife when I was dating her. But we didn't talk about love. I think we loved each other as much as it was possible. I know. I was in a car wreck one time and ended up in the hospital for a couple of days. And my brothers, they came to see me while I was there. And that was unusual for my brothers to go see anybody in the hospital. And they never went to funerals. But I could tell they loved me, but we never said I love you. One of them sat there all night with me. But he never said, I love you, that's why I'm here. But I knew that's why he was there. My mama loved me. I know she did. She got up and went to work every day without a man in the house, without a father to help her. She went to work every day, worked a hard job. She paid the bills. She bought the clothes. She grew or bought the food. She prepared it. She took care of us. She made sure we had a warm place to sleep, and we went to school every day. And my mama, I don't ever remember my mama before I got saved started saying it to her. I don't ever remember my mama saying, I love you. But I know she did. Listen, I had a sister, Gloria. She got saved at 12 years old at the Salvation Army Church in Winston-Salem. And I didn't know until later that happened. But she was always different. And she would say, I love you. She'd say that. But we just thought that she was different. She was kinder and all these things. But you know what? Through all of that, God still loves you. Nobody may ever tell you that, but God loves you. Your mama might not tell you, but God's love includes you. Your daddy might not tell you that, but God's love includes you. Nobody you know may even ever say, I love you. But I got news for you. The Ancient of Days, the Divine One, He loves you with an immeasurable love. You can't get over it. You can't get under it. You can't get around it. God's love is so big, it's going to slap you right in the face one day and say, hey, I love you, and I don't want you to go to hell, and I don't want anybody to go to hell. And whosoever will can come and be saved. And you're one of the whosoevers that my son died for. Please come and let me save you. Malachi 3:6. Most of you already know this verse. Malachi 3:6. He says, for I am the Lord and I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Now, God's love is an unchangeable love. And he looked at the son, at Jacob and his family and said, look, the reason you ain't dead in hell already is because I love you and I don't ever change. And I've loved you from the start and I love you now and I'll always love you, or you'd already be consumed in hell. And God looks at us Christians when we fail and we fall and we disappoint him, disappoint others. And God said, listen, I sent my son to die for you and my love will never change. I loved you that day. I still love you. I love you forever, and the only reason you ain't dead and in hell is because I love you, and I will not change. I'll always, there's nothing you can do to make me not love you. It's unchangeable. He said in our verse, Christ liveth in me. The love of God lives in me. It's been set abroad in my heart, shed abroad in my heart, and the love of God's in there. And let me tell you something we was talking about in James, faith and works. Don't say you love God and you don't love your neighbor, he says. Don't say that you love God and you don't love your brother, your sister. If the love of God's in there, there's no room for hate. There's no room for hate. Because, see, even though God hates sin, God loves sinners. And God wants everybody to be saved. And you should never get to the point where you can't love everybody. Now, I don't like everybody. I don't. I don't like the way they are. I don't like the way they talk. These videos on YouTube and Facebook and all of these protests and stuff, I can't watch them because of the vileness of people's speech. They're just vile and wicked, the things that come out of their mouth, so I can't watch them. But I don't want them to go to hell. And I'm going to tell you who I take my hat off. I'm going to tell you who I take it off to. It ain't the one standing on the front line between them and the cops and screaming obscenities back at them. My hat goes off to the preacher who'll stand there and preach in spite of it. The love of God. This Sam Bertha, this black street preacher that I follow on Facebook, and I shared him with some of y'all. He's from Charlotte. And the first picture I ever saw of him, they had cut, just, he stood there preaching, God loves you. I think he had a sign that says, God loves you. And he had a Bible, and they had covered him with silly string and poured water all over him. And he's sitting there weeping, and he said, Jesus loves you. God loves you. He wants to save you. And I've seen him in some of those protests recently in New York and in Washington. And guess what? He never fights back. He just keeps saying, God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. And now let me tell you something. The love of God has been spread abroad in that man's heart. And he loves people. And how can we say we're the sons of God if we don't love God like God? And how can we say we're the sons of God if we don't love God? Now let me tell you something about this season and I'll quit. Did you know if you quit enjoying seasons and traditions and loving them more than Him, you'll be more satisfied. You'll never have a Christmas that there's not some disappointment in the season, the holiday. You never will. Somebody's going to hurt your feelings. Somebody's going to let you down during that season. If you're waiting for everybody to buy you a present, you're going to be hurt. If you're waiting for everybody to come over your house and hug your neck and tell you how much they love you this Christmas, you're going to be disappointed. But let me tell you whose love will never disappoint you. That's the love of God through Christ Jesus. And we don't need a special season for that. Every Sunday ought to be Christmas. Every Sunday ought to be Easter. Every Lord's Day ought to be a good day. You know why? Because we'll remember God loves even me. And except by the grace of God, I'd die and go to hell. Just like everybody that don't know God loves them. And then we ought to think about this too. We're so busy sharing presents and gifts. Why don't we give people the greatest gift that's ever been given? The good news that God loves them and that Jesus died for them. He said, but as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And then Romans says, how shall they hear without a preacher? We all ought to be preaching the good news that God is love. Father, add your blessing to your word today. Save some sinner. Maybe somebody walked across and just, I don't know what how they say it. They scanned the cross and found this on Facebook. I pray today, Holy Spirit, you would convict them and convert them. Just have them look up and say, God, that's me. Thank you for loving me, unlovable as I am. And I want to receive Jesus Christ, your gift of love, and be born again. Maybe they'll do that and get saved. Maybe there's some Christian out there that's been looking to find love in this old world, and there's nothing that's going to satisfy them like the love of God through Christ Jesus. Help them, Lord. And then help us as Christians to share that good news more. This is a good time to do it, Lord. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, Brother Fortson, would you come lead us? I think it's number 419. Number 419. Listen, if you're watching online, now's a good time to get saved. Just bow your head and say, Lord, come into my heart, save me. Forgive me of my sins. I turn from my sins, I turn to you. And He'll save you. Come on, Brother Fortson.